Accession number 18497, Reel 5.
Tony Bell, Reel 5.
Yeah, if at times you found you could get out, then you used to do Derek Ibbotson or Gordon Pirie as it is, and bug out of there as quick as possible. Look, I'm not a brave soldier, you know, you got out of there quick. But I must admit, I never really did like going out into no man's land. It wasn't very nice at all. And then once again, I felt sorry for the National Service lads. Because, well, it wasn't a very nice war for anyone. But regular soldiers are expected to do these things. Another thing about the listening patrols during the winter, you had to be very, very careful you didn't stick to the ground. If your parka was slightly damp and you were laid there probably for 4, 5, 6 hours at a time, you see, you'd find yourself fastened to the ground like a limpet. The lads just out, twice that happened to me, and the lads just pulled me up. Come on, you silly little man, let's have you up. Or various other expletives.
So if you tried to capture one of the enemy, did the enemy try to capture you ever?
Oh yeah, the intentions were the same, you see. They needed as much information about the strength of our troops as we did about the strength of theirs. Also their location, because from what I believe, they built these caverns, as it were, in the hills. They'd draw the gun up through the opening, fire a few rounds, these are the self-propelled guns, then go back in, sharpish. Our detectors were actually on the hill to find where they, to find the location of the enemy guns. They found them, but by the time the fire went over, they'd gone back in, you see. Gone back into these caves or dugouts, whatever you care to call them.
So, were any of your chaps snatched?
No, but we did have three who were taken prisoner, if I remember right. Three were missing. But that was during the actual fighting, as it were. I can't think of anyone being taken on a patrol. No. No. Because, you see, by the time we got to the 38th and dug in, it was more or less a static war then. We were sort of feeling our way through each day and week as it came along. The actual going forward, taking positions after position, hill after hill, that didn't seem to be too bad. At least you were moving, something was happening all the time. Then when we came to the 38th and went to ground, I mean, it was a totally different war, entirely different war. I mean, that's when the nerves started to jangle after a while, stuck up there listening and listening and listening and being fired on and getting fired back at. Totally different war. Didn't like that at all.
So was going out on patrol into no man's land worse than the occasion that you told me about last time when you had a Chinese ground attack against you?
Yeah, because when they're coming at you, you can hear them shouting and screaming and blowing the bugles. They're there amongst you. You're with them. They're there. It's you and them. In no man's land, it's what it says, it's no man's land. It's a war of nerves. Looking for an object that you know full well you'll never be able to catch or find. Not unless a poor sod fell down and broke his leg or something. No, I didn't like, I'll be honest, I didn't like it when we finally stopped going forward.
What were these presents that they hung on the wire for you?
Whistles made out of the tin cans that we threw away. Little penny whistles, you know, and greeting cards. propaganda cards, of course, but they were quite good. They were quite, and it was in front of us. It was a right sign. Merry Christmas. About this big.
3 feet.
Yeah, easy. And nobody heard a thing. Nobody heard a thing. Yeah.
What did it say on the greetings card?
I remember it saying, something about the People's Republic or something. I remember People's Republic. It was propaganda. I think it basically wanting you to go over to their side or lay down your arms. You know, this is not your war and all that jazz.
Did it have any effect on you?
None whatsoever. How could it? I wish now that I'd kept one instead of using it to light a cigarette. I do. I wish I'd kept one. I really do.
But why didn't it have any effect?
Well, I can't really say, can I? I mean, they had. What can I say? We had admiration for them putting these presents and these notices on our barbed wire. Well done, lads, you know, brilliant that. But reading the cards, no, that didn't have any effect on us at all. It just made us say, oh, here we go again, lad. Same old tack. Because they used to send these notices. Asking us to go over to their side, you know, Chinese People's Republic will look after you and they'll take care of you and see that you end this war in peace and all that jazz. Yeah, but you just ignore them.
What did you think would happen to you if somebody had defected?
Well, we always thought that we'd be treated pretty rough. We always had this idea at the back of our minds that, you know, these wily oriental gentlemen were not very good. They didn't look after the prisoners very well. They weren't really keen on us, were they? You know, we were encroaching on their domain, as it were. Round eyes. No, I think if you ask the lads, they were a bit apprehensive of being taken prisoner. Yeah. Like when you went out on patrol, all your personal items you left behind. But the only thing that you took out for recognition were your dog tags, which obviously you kept with you at all times. But letters, photographs, cigarettes, matches, etc., you left those behind when you went out into no man's land.
What kind of photographs would a soldier normally have with him?
Well, either of his mum and dad, or his girlfriend, married man of his family. Normally girlfriends, you know, because they were quite young lads. But we weren't supposed to take these with us when we went out on these patrols. No.
Did you sing any songs in Korea?
There was a song, a Korean song, Ardy Dong, it was called. Ardy Dong. It's some sort of a love song that went round the battalion like a house on fire. I think everybody was singing Ardy Dong. But any particular song, no, I don't think so.
How did Ardy Dong go?
Oh, I'm not very good at singing.
I thought you might give me a rendering.
Well, it's Ardy Dong, Ardy Dong, Ardy O, Ardy Dong, Kogero, No Maganda, and goes on and on and on for a while.
But what about, did you make up any songs?
No, I don't think so. They were just the usual army songs, if there were any songs at all.
What are the usual army songs?
You know, the rude ones. There's one that the Australians used to sing I think that was taken up for a couple of... what was that? We're a Shower of Bastards, I think. That's it, We're a Shower of Bastards, yeah. That was a nice song they used to sing to us when they saw us. Or, but no, I can't remember any songs. Naturally, we didn't have a wireless or anything like that. Just make up your own entertainment.
What tune did We're a Shower of Bastards go to?
Da 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 dee.
Don't think I know that tune.
Yeah, it's a popular tune somewhere. Not quite sure what it is. It's, I think could be a hymn. It'd be typical of Aussies, that.
Any pop songs of the day that you're saying?
Can't remember any. I must be honest, I can't remember any now.
One of the Middlesex told me they used to sing Mockingbird Hill. Do you remember that one?
I remember it, yeah, but I don't think our lads sang that. We took over from the Middlesex. If I remember right, yeah, we did, yeah. Middlesex.
Did you have much to do with them?
No, not really. It was just in and out sort of thing. Like when the Durhams took over from us, that were the same. They moved up and we moved out.
So, were you in the line very long this second time in these positions? Was it months or weeks? Or?
No, it wasn't months, no. I think it was weeks. I think it was weeks. As I said to you before, I'm pathetic on times, dates. I mean, some of the lads you talk to, I often wonder if I were in the same country as them. You know, they remember every little tiddly village they'd go through. I couldn't remember nothing. Remember anything like that. I managed to get to Tokyo on R&R.
What was that like?
Oh, super. Super. You don't move your head because the beer would float out of your mouth, you know, that sort of... It was just it was great to get away for 5 days. Just booze, booze, booze and booze again.
Whereabouts in Tokyo was it?
It was a camp, Ibasu Camp, I think it was called. Ibasu Camp, sure that's what they call it.
I think it was, I think other people have told me about
it. Have they? Yeah. Very well run, very well run.
Did you get pampered there?
You got treated with respect, you know, by the Japanese. They were very respectful people. In fact, they were a pain in the butt at times. You know, the women were nice. Enjoyed those. The company of. They had a quaint way of serving your beer in the Ginza Beer Hall. No doubt someone will have told you about that, have they? Have they not? It does surprise me. That was the focal point for the lads in Tokyo.
Is it a pub?
No, it's a big... Well, yeah, it was a pub, but it was a huge place, if I remember right. And everybody congregated there. And as you went in, it was like going to the cinema. You bought your tickets, your beer tickets. Put them on the table, and as soon as they're on the table, a glass of beer was dumped there. Well, ever there was tickets, you were getting beer, you see. You didn't go and pay at the bar like we do. You left the tickets on your table and the waitresses would come round, take a ticket and give you a pint of beer or a litre of beer, whatever it was. Asahi, is it? Asahi. Yeah, and you just drank and drank and drank yourself into a stupor. You may think it's silly, but believe you me, you needed to do something like that. You did, honestly. I'm not kidding. It was super, yeah.
What did you do for meals on R&R? Did you get?
You know, I don't think we had much food at all. I think it was a liquid refreshment.
So you didn't have meals in the Ebisu camp?
Yeah, we had meals there, yeah. We had meals there. I'll be honest, I can't remember much about that camp at all. It's like a fog. It's a haze.
Was there any misbehaviour by the troops on R&R?
There was the usual happy-go-lucky drunkenness, for want of a better word, because you do silly things when you're drunk, don't you? But they were all controlled by the powers that be, the police. I went twice. The first time it was occupied Japan. Rules were pretty strict then. You know, the MPs kept an eye on you. If you were a naughty boy, they'd bundle you back to camp. You know, if you were too drunk or you sat in their order, like you do when you're drunk. The second time, it had been handed back to the Japanese, and they ruled the roost.
So he went on R&R twice?
Yeah.
Was it the same each time?
Basically, yeah. What I liked about it was everybody were my size, you see. Being a short ass, you know, everybody was my size. It was great. Even the coppers that same size as me, yeah. Oh, I enjoyed it immensely. It's very much like England, you know, Japan. The climate and that smell in the air. Yeah, great.
You mean the smell of wet?
It's very much like England. It is. If you close your eyes and you'd think you were, you know, and shut your ears to the chatter, you'd think you were back home. Yeah, that's probably one of the things I liked about it.
But you said you found the attitude of the Chinese irritating?
The Japanese? Yeah. They were so subservient, you see, bowing and scraping all over the place. You don't want that, do you? No, you don't, do you? Not really. The Americans lapped it up. They thought it was great. Yeah, but no, it didn't go down very well with British lads, I don't think. No. Especially if you visited a home that you had to take your shoes off and disrobe, as it were. And
did you visit homes?
You couldn't do a thing. That's for me to know, for you to find out. I'm just going on what the lads told me when they got back. Yes, they used to look after you 100%. You know, you couldn't take your shirt off, you couldn't take your socks off. They used to do it for you. Initially, I suppose, that were okay, but after a while, it palled a bit. You're not used to it, are you? God, me British, sir.
Were there any brawls between soldiers in Japan?
Yeah, we get one or two conflicts between Australians. Australians and New Zealanders always had a go at one another. Whenever they met, they'd have a go. It was tradition, I think. Lads weren't very keen on Yanks, on the soldiers, because they'd seen the fighting qualities of them. They weren't right happy with them. So if there was any aggro, you know, they used to go in, boots flying, as it were. But overall, no, it was just, you just went there and you just had a damn good time. You know, get away from it.
Did you see any of these conflicts or get involved in them?
I didn't get involved because Dad was wearing me regimental cap badge. We didn't do things like that. No, I didn't get involved in any, no.
But you saw it?
Oh, yeah. I remember once there was a fracas in the Ginza Beer Hall with some Americans who were being a bit stroppy. And these MPs came in. There was two that I remember vividly. One was a coloured chap. And he was ginormous. He was absolutely massive. And so was his partner, who was white, and they got hold of these Yanks, and God, I felt sorry for them. They just literally flung them in back of this paddy wagon thing, yeah. God, they didn't have to sort them out. 2 minutes, everybody was singing and dancing again.
So, after being on R&R, it must have been hard to go back to Korea.
Well, it was. If you remembered what you were doing, you're still in the alcoholic haze. So you didn't really mind, in a sense, because you weren't aware. Well, I'm speaking for myself, of course, and one or two of my oppos, we weren't really with it. So we just bundled onto the plane and back home, back to Korea and back up the line.
I don't think you said a great deal about the making yourself comfortable as far as you could in the trenches. Can you say anything on that?
Well, it was extremely hard because it was so basic. As I might have explained this to you before, I feel I have. We dug a hole in the ground. We dug a little ditch in the centre of the hole, forming two mounds of earth. Yeah? Those you put your blanket on, and there you slept, on these little mounds of earth. Follow what I mean?
Ledges.
Yeah. If you were lucky, you would get a 5-gallon drum. You would make holes in the top of the drum with your bayonet. You'd fill it with sand or soft earth. You would utilise the hole at the top, the pour, where you pour the liquid out, as a chimney. You'd use the 50mm shell cases, and you'd form a chimney which you'd stick through, and then you'd put petrol in, pour petrol in, and throw a match in. And that was your comfort. That's it. Nothing else. That was it. And there you stayed. That was your home for the entire length of time you were up in the, shall we say, sharp end, for want of a better word. But as for comforts, there were none. None at all. No comfort.
Did you get vermin infesting the trenches?
Yeah, rats all over the place. One occasion, I remember, this, I might have told you about Bomber, that was in my section, Bomber Wells. He was wounded, bless him. Well, he was a nutcase. He was totally flipped, bless him. He used to pull a pin on a grenade, let the handle fly up, count to three and throw it.
At what?
Whatever was coming up the slope at that particular time, or if there wasn't anything there, do it for sheer devilment, or for sheer boredom, whatever. I don't know what went through his mind, but he appointed himself my personal bodyguard, would you believe? No, the lads loved him, but they didn't want to know him, you know what I mean? He was a barn pot, bless him. And he came from the Middlesex Regiment. He volunteered to join ours. And one night, I had a terrific night. We were both asleep. Well, that was the idea. We both come off guard onto this ledge of dirt, having a kip. And there was this horrible noise. I thought, oh, it'd been it. What was it? A bomber. He'd got a Sten gun and they were shooting this rat that was walking across the room. That's the type of lad he was, bless him. Yeah, there were lots of rats. Yeah.
Did they worry you at all?
Funnily enough, no. No, I think we thought, well, they're here and we're here. Let's sort of... They didn't really trouble us as much now. Really. The squeaking was a bit of a bind at times. That got to you.
They were just trying to take your food, presumably.
Well, you don't leave anything lying about. Well, when you were in the front line... Here we go again. When you was up the sharp end, as it were, you got American food, American sea rations. I don't know whether lads have told you about those before. But it's a complete day's ration in a little box. Everything's tinned. Quite well thought, actually, because you had these three tins of beans and ham, or beans and sausage, or sausage patties, corned beef hash. You had a tin of fruit. You had a small two-round... what we would call biscuits. I think they call them bread. I'm not sure.
Do they call them cookies? Maybe?
No, I think they were bread. Anyway, you had two of these and a little tin of jam, tin opener, packet of fags, little roll of toilet paper, little packets of coffee, three packets of coffee, three packets of dried milk, three packets of sugar. within this little box, which is called a sea ration, combat ration. Very well thought out. Oh, and spoons. Yeah, a couple of spoons, plastic spoons. Very good. Very nutritious. The corned beef hash, that was the first thing they did. They opened the box, see what they got. Corned beef hash. That was lobbed over to the cooks. It was horrid. It was terrible. Corned beef trash, we used to call it.
So what was the thing that you really enjoyed from the sea ration?
Well, I enjoyed all the beans. I like the sausage patties, I think they call them. Sausage patties. The fruit was good. Tin of fruit. That was nice.
What kind of fruit was that?
Anything. What you thought? Fruit cocktail. That was prevalent, that one. Fruit cocktail. And I used to get that quite a lot. Packet of fags, 20 fags. Lucky Strike or Chesterfield. Camel. Whatever. In fact, I got quite used to those. I used to like the American cigarettes. I'd swap my cigarettes for Yankee cigarettes. Every now and again, we used to get a tin of English cigarettes, Woodbine, Capstan, Players, that's how you get Players. Well, I'd swap mine for Yankee fags because I got used to that roast flavour. Very nice.
Did you get alcohol?
Not very often. Now and again, we'd managed to have these little bottles of Asahi stuff. Yeah. Not very often, though.
Could you keep in touch with home?
Yeah, we used to write letters. Yeah, we used to get pretty regular mail. Yeah, I used to write to Mum. Not very often. Their sons don't do that, do they? Don't do that.
Were you taking any interest in the course of the war more widely?
No. No, definitely not. We often wonder why we were there and what we were doing there. But as I said time again, you know, regular soldiers go where they're sent, but no, no interest at all in it whatsoever. None at all.
So when the DLI came to relieve you, did you see much of anything of them at all?
Not a lot, no, because we'd packed his gear and that was it. Sayonara, Tomodachi. We were off, thank God. Yeah. I do believe that they suffered casualties the first day they were up there. Because as the last of the lads were coming out, they were saying, well, they thought it highly amusing that they'd lost some lads. It's an unknown quantity, you see. What one doesn't do, you don't walk on the skyline. You do not walk on skyline at any time. And the lads being new, they were obviously trying to sort themselves out. Who's going where and who's doing what? And they were strolling about, from what I could gather, which, you know, you don't do. You don't do. I mean, by that time, the bulk of our lads were obviously what the Americans like to call battle-hardened. They didn't do things like that.
So when you were relieved by the DLI, you then went home?
Yes, we went down to Pusan. I remember that quite vividly. Because I went back to my bugle platoon. See, I believe I mentioned earlier on, I volunteered to go into rifle companies to do my bit, as it were.